This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. The Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program, or ANSEP, has an idea for a new kind of program in the state, and it wants to try out this idea in Bethel. ANSEP is exploring turning Bethel into an ANSEP hub. KYUK's Kaylee King has more on what that could look like.
Here's how it would work. Students in the Bethel Regional High School would take college classes through ANSEP at the Bethel UAF Kuskokwim campus.
I wouldn't be surprised if we could do that.
That's ANSEP Regional Director Michael Oleron from TVAC.
So with the advantages, what that would do is open up the doors to offering more of these opportunities to students in the region without having to travel further away from home.
He says with an ANSEP high school, students in the region would study a lot more than science and engineering.
ANSEP, we do have, like, we have science and engineering in our name, but offering this opportunity to younger students means that we can offer any class that counts towards any degree program, not just science or engineering. So they could study anything they want. And by having that available, we could work with students year-round in the region with as many students as possible.
The classes could be available to over 500 students in Bethel and around the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. While in high school, they will get an opportunity to study what they want to major in college.
And so, likely, when a student is taking college courses in high school, they're just getting an idea of what they want to study, and it's going to change until they get to college.
The idea of starting an ANSEP high school in Bethel is still in its early stages. Though ANSEP has not talked with the Lower Kuskokwim School District about the program, Oleron is optimistic about the project. In Bethel, I'm Kaylee King.
And the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race starts next month, but before mushers and their sled dogs take off on the race to Nome, there's a lot of preparation to do, and that includes getting team supplies to the remote communities along the trail. Last week, mushers dropped off their food and gear in Anchorage so it could be sorted and flown to race checkpoints. Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon has the story.
First bag for Boozer. White Mountain, 3-6.
At a cavernous building in South Anchorage, volunteers haul bulky sacks onto a scale. They call out the bag's weights and where they're going. Each one is labeled with its destination, a community along the Iditarod Trail that serves as a race checkpoint. Nikolai, McGrath, Galena.
Shaq Dulick, 2-7.
This is the first day of Iditarod food drops in Anchorage. It's part of the massive logistical dance that makes the 1,000-mile sled dog race happen. Iditarod Race Marshal Mark Nordman says the mushers' bags contain a little bit of everything.
From personal clothing to extra runner plastic to, of course, the most important thing, the dog food.
Nordman says on average, each team sends about 1,500 to 2,700 pounds of food and gear onto the trail. He says getting those bags prepared is a huge chore. The Iditarod calls the bags drop bags.
So many people say that the hardest part about Iditarod is getting your drop bags together because everything's portioned out how you want it for your team and different sized booties and plastic, everything else that they need on their trip to Nome.
Musher Linwood Fiedler from Willow brought a pickup truck full of dozens of bags to Anchorage. He says he's been preparing them for months. While he's planning, he says he thinks about having enough food at stops along the trail in case there's bad weather and his team can't leave.
I've done this race a bunch, and I've gotten stuck at checkpoints where there is no going forward, there is no trail, and so being able to calculate to be able to sit in Uniclete for a day if there's a coastal storm, that sort of thing is part of the equation as well.
Fiedler says he's sending out beef and pork for his dog team, and for himself, it's vacuum-sealed bags of meals made by his wife.
When I'm tired, what I like to eat, and when I'm fresh and bright, are two different things. So she's really done an amazing job kind of dialing those sort of things in. Generally, I kind of like spicy things like chili relleno and some lasagna with a little zip in it, that sort of thing. She makes killer chili.
Fiedler wrote a check for about $1,800 to send his food and supplies to the Iditarod checkpoints. He'll reunite with those bags in a few weeks. He and his dogs will join 56 other teams at the Iditarod ceremonial start in Anchorage on March 7th. Then the race officially starts in Willow the next day. In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
And finally, internal conflict is causing upheaval within a regional health corporation. In August, the largest tribe in the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation announced that it was withdrawing its membership. The corporation is the only healthcare provider in the region. The tribe is currently in mediation with BBAHC, and tensions flared at a recent public meeting in Dillingham. KDLG's Izzy Ross reports.
The Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation held a public meeting Tuesday to discuss its healthcare services in Dillingham. The meeting came several months after the Chagayong tribe said it was withdrawing from BBAHC because of its concerns about patient care and the corporation's administration. First, a little background. The Chagayong tribe is the largest of the 28 Alaska Native tribes that currently authorize BBAHC to provide care to their members through a contract with the Indian Health Service. In the fall of 2018, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services found that the Kanakanak Hospital Pharmacy in Dillingham, which is managed by the corporation, was putting patients at risk of harm or death. CMS put the pharmacy in immediate jeopardy status. In November of 2018, the Chagayong tribe passed a resolution authorizing the council to leave the corporation if its concerns were not addressed. The hospital was deemed compliant a few months later, but the Chagayong tribe said that it had difficulty working with BBAHC. In May, it issued a resolution to withdraw from the corporation. For the past several months, Chagayong and the corporation have been negotiating that withdrawal. The earliest it could take effect would be in May. A major issue is that Chagayong feels that it does not have enough say in BBAHC's operations. First Chief Thomas Tilden says that they hope to come to an agreement with BBAHC that will allow them to stay, but that there are issues that need to be fixed. Tilden says that the health corporation is currently structured so that the executive committee has the most power, undercutting tribes' effectiveness on the board.
The executive board basically has all to say in regards to how the services are provided and what the priorities are. We, as the largest tribe in Bristol Bay, had no seat on the executive board. We had a number of members that have tried to get onto the executive committee and basically could not make it on that board.
He pointed out that the members of the executive committee come from communities whose populations make up just under a quarter of the entire region. Chagayong Second Chief Gayla Hossett spoke at BBAHC's public meeting Tuesday. She stressed that the tribe's first priority is health care. She also pointed to what she sees as structural problems in the hospital's administration.
If you serve on the full board, you have no say of what that executive committee does. None. That's a problem. That's backwards. It's a backwards pyramid.
One of the main questions is whether the tribe's withdrawal would affect patient care. Robert Clark, the health corporation's CEO and president, said at the meeting they didn't yet know what it would mean for residents of Dillingham.
It is possible that the final withdrawal agreement will result in children members and perhaps other beneficiaries who live in Dillingham no longer have access to BBHC services. We are months away from knowing for certain if Chagayong will pull out and what the final agreement will look like.
Brenda Acklecock is a member of the Chagayong Tribal Council. She said she was worried about the speed of the action.
I'm just really worried that people are going to suffer if there's not enough time and enough effort put into it by both parties to do the type of transition where people aren't going to get hurt or they quit going down to get care.
According to BBHC's attorney, Jeff Stromer, if the tribe decided to put the entirety of its IHS funds toward a new healthcare program, BBHC could charge IHS beneficiaries who wanted to continue using hospital services.
It's unclear right now how much money might leave the system and what programs, functions, services, and activities might go along with that money that Chagayong is going to take.
First Chief Tilden said that in order for IHS to approve a withdrawal, the tribe has to have a plan in place for health care.
There will be no diminishment of care to the residents of Chagayong or other tribes or people receiving services now. That service is going to continue to be administered by, it's just a matter of whom is going to provide that service.
BBHC's executive committee and the full board will meet with the Chogayong Tribal Council next month to continue mediation. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukden coming up.